Hi, kids. Welcome to the Children's Bible Club. I'm Aunt Carolyn here with Mr. Woods and the CBC Choir. Thanks for joining us for singing a good Bible story and a good time together. If you have special friends you would like to have listen with you, call them right now. Tell them what station you're listening to and the frequency number of the station so they can find it quickly. And if you're a grown-up, don't go away. We want you to stay with us, too. And here's the choir to start us off. Thank you, choir. Say, kids, did your teacher ever ask you to stand in class and give a Bible verse? And sometimes somebody couldn't think of one, so they quoted John 11:35. Why? Because it's the shortest verse in the Bible, and almost anyone can remember two words. Yes, two words. Jesus wept. We easily repeat it. But why did Jesus weep? He was strong and had endurance. He made a thick whip, turned over money tables, and drove money changers and their livestock out of the temple. He walked long distances over rough paths to preach and minister to people. Jesus was no sissy, but Jesus wept. What made him so sad that he would weep? With all his power and strength, he also had compassion. Lazarus had died and was buried. And when Jesus saw his sister and others weeping, he had great compassion on them. He prayed, and then to glorify God and to show people that God had sent him, he called, "Lazarus, come forth!" How amazing! The man who was dead, wrapped in grave clothes with the burial napkin still over his face, came walking out of that grave. Imagine the shocked ohs and ahs from the crowd. I'm sure they opened up a wide path to let Lazarus through. Yes, Jesus had great compassion. Let's think about that, kids. When someone is sad or in trouble, do we have a heart and concern for them? Paul said, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." Let's forget about ourselves and help carry others' burdens. Pray for them and help in any way you can. Don't be like the priest and Levite who passed by the poor traveler on the Jericho road. Be like the good Samaritan who doctored his wounds, took him to an inn where he could be cared for, and even paid for his food and medicine. Now that's compassion. Let us show care for others, too. Let's help them all we can, and for sure tell them of Jesus and his sacrifice for sin. Well, here's the choir before story time.
Blessing of his favor, this
After Abimelech, Tola, then Jair, judged Israel. But again the people did evil. They served heathen gods and brought down God's wrath. The Ammonites oppressed Israel 18 years, and at last Israel determined to throw off the oppressors. But who could lead their army? They passed over their own men and sent messengers to a man named Jephthah. News of his exploits had spread. Yes, Israel would even overlook his low birth if he would lead their army. Jephthah was a hero of sorts, but not a good kind. Outcast from home, hated by his brothers, he ran for his life to escape their threats. Angry, he gathered rough, lawless men around him. They conquered Tob, and Jephthah became known as a fierce warrior. So the messengers sought Jephthah, and he was suspicious. Why were they coming? They'd already ruined his life. Were they up to more trouble? Was this a trick? "Jephthah," they said, "come, be our captain. Lead us against the Ammonites." Jephthah had been driven from his home in disgrace. He might jump at this chance to return in honor and power. But no, he was a proud man. He would have revenge. He retorted, "You hated me. You drove me from my home. Why do you now call upon me when you need help?" The ambassadors assured him that their request was genuine, but Jephthah was not moved. He had been wronged and wouldn't forget it. If he came, how would it profit him? Sometimes God calls young people to his service, but they want to know what's in it for them instead of what they can do for the Lord. So Jephthah bargained, "If I accept your offer and come lead the battle, if the Lord gives us the victory, will I then be your king?" He wanted to be the top man, like some children. If they can't have their way, they don't want any part of anything. They're not yielded to the Lord. They still want their own way. So Jephthah asked, "If we win, will I really be your leader?" "Yes, it's a deal," they promised. Finally convinced, Jephthah went with them. First he tried to talk with the Ammonites and avoid war, but it didn't do any good. The only answer was to fight for Israel's freedom. Jephthah moved his army forward, but he was anxious. So much rested on this battle. Not only the Israelites' freedom, but his own position was at stake. Being back in his homeland in honor instead of disgrace, ruler instead of outcast, victor instead of underdog, oh, he had to win. In his intense desire, he uttered a desperate promise. "Oh, God, if you'll give me this victory, when I return, I will offer up, as a burnt offering, the first thing that comes out of my house." The relentless war was on. Jephthah's army stormed over enemy territory. He drove from point to point, from one stronghold to another, until he'd wiped out 20 cities with a terrible slaughter. Exhausted but triumphant, Jephthah returned home, crowned with victory. The disgraced exile was now the conqueror. His heart swelled with pride. He was jubilant, and the valley rang with the shouts and acclamations. In the midst of all this glory, his darling daughter came out of the house, with flowers wreathed around her head, playing her timbrel and dancing for joy. She dashed to meet him. What a thrill! But suddenly, a sharp pang pierced his heart. He remembered his awful vow. The first thing out to meet him was his only daughter. Laurels turned to ashes, shouts went unheard, and glory crumbled around him. He tore his clothes and cried out in agony, "Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, for I have opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot go back." When that precious girl saw the anguish in her father's face, her song suddenly died. Her joy and dancing ceased. She stood before him like a statue. Her young heart must have stopped beating for a moment as the meaning of the awful vow sank in. Yet somehow she rose from the depths of despair to the heights of a martyr, calmly accepting her fate. What obedience! What submission! She made no attempt to escape. For 2 months she wandered in the mountains, walking lonely gorges, climbing silent summits. Sorrow crushed her heart as she faced death before life could be fulfilled. At last she returned home and yielded up her life. The scripture doesn't tell of the sad farewell. It seems God in mercy drew a veil over the final tragedy. We cannot know the agony of the father or the anguish of her last piercing cry. The Bible only says that her father did with her according to his vow. That vow seems rash, but people didn't have as much light as we do today. The books of the law were complete, but weren't printed for the people to read. God's word wasn't preached. But Jephthah kept his promise, and vows today are still binding. Psalm says, "Pay thy vows unto the Most High, and when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it." Yes, God holds us accountable to know and to obey his word. And now God bless you. Until next time.
You have been listening to the Children's Bible Club, a ministry of Grace Bible Church and Santa Rosa Christian School in Milton, Florida. If the stories and songs have been a blessing to you, why not write and let Aunt Carolyn know? When you write, be sure to mention the call letters of this good radio station. Send your letter to Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. When you write, ask for a free brochure of all the Aunt Carolyn stories, as well as other good Christian books and materials for children and adults. That address again is Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. You may also visit our website, childrensbibleclub.com. Keep listening and tell a friend about the broadcast so they can listen too. Now, I'm Adam Watt saying God bless you until next week at the same time.